In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, to hear the lamentation of the women.
And we're listening to Comic Culture, the radio show, the champions of local comic book store. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, and we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your new number ones.
Rebooting the world of comic books.
And the world of comic books needs a reboot,
Chris. Well, apparently they do, according to the sales from DC.
Yes.
Apparently they do.
Yes. We're looking for a Archie reboot soon, I hope.
Oh, imagine that.
And a, heaven forbid, a Marvel reboot.
I wonder if comic strips are going to get a reboot. Like, does this mean, like, you know, we're going to get, like, a Blondie reboot and, like, a Marmaduke reboot?
Right. A Peanuts reboot. None of that ever happened.
It doesn't even matter anymore.
Doesn't even matter.
Now,
wipe the slate clean.
Charlie Brown's no longer a blockhead. He's, like, this suave, sophisticated individual.
You know what? It would be interesting to be a fly on the wall at the Marvel boardroom right now.
Yeah, that's for sure. No. That's for sure. Should they reboot or not?
Yeah, should we reboot? Guys, it's working for them.
Yeah, I agree. I say they should do it.
Yeah. You know what? I say they should do it too.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Why not?
I don't know, though, because I read Marvel, but I don't read DC. Do they have the same kind of problems with, you know, World 17 and Universe 2?
Not really, no.
Earth 9?
Not as much, no.
Do they have, that continuity issues as much as DC did?
Well, they've got continuity issues, but not in the way that DC did with all the different worlds and Golden Age universes and all that kind of stuff, which is why they had the Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Right, right.
Marvel never really had all that. I mean, they have their own versions of continuity issues where everything just becomes flashbacks and now rewriting history and all
right.
that kind of
the
stuff.
The most famous of which is probably that flipping Spider-Man Clone Wars the clone saga. Did it happen? Didn't it happen?
They choose to rather to rewrite history rather than sort of put it to the side and say, well, actually, this is a different universe, which I don't know if that's better or worse.
No, good for them. They're not like DC. They're not saying, hey, this thing never happened. What Marvel is saying is, hey, yeah, we screwed up. It happened, but we're just going to redo it.
Yeah, we're going to redo it our better way. Yeah, right. we're going to try to fix it on our own.
All right. Yeah, well, listen, Chris, today is Wednesday.
Yes.
Wednesdays always bring us together.
Yes, it does.
To talk about comic books that are hitting local comic book shops today.
And talk about comic culture.
Comic culture.
Yes.
Comic culture. You know, what we need is like coffee shops called comic culture.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
We could have like graphic novels in there.
And you get there, sip on your Frappuccino.
Your $8 Frappuccino.
Yeah, and reading your $5 new Thor. Yeah.
Oh, I spilled some Frappuccino on my Wonder Woman.
Right. Get a Kleenex.
Yes. Oh, alrighty. Well, let's keep on going here. Well, you know what? Every Wednesday we do have new comics that we do a little talk about what's coming out. And all
they're
that
called
stuff.
New This Week
new
comic,
this week
Chris.
Comics.
Yes. New This Week comics.
New This Week is brought to you by the Action Comics number 1000. Because let's be honest, we all know it's going to come and happen anyways.
You're absolutely right. Action Comics. Of course, Chris is alluding to the fact that DC has renumbered Action Comics to number 1.
Yes.
Saying we will not go back to the old numbering system just to exploit the gimmick of the number 1,000.
But you can bet your bottom dollar when the 1,000 issue comes around, they'll say, well, this would have been the
1,000th issue.
It's kind of hard to say sometimes.
I know.
Yeah.
Chris, what we're going to talk about today, as we did last week and as we did the week before, because in honor of DC's New 52, we're going to start new this week with the DC couple of DC books.
Right. Well, of course, they've got all kinds of new number ones coming out this week, and I thought we would just choose a few here that we thought were a little bit, I don't know, of the more important ones that are coming out. So we've got Wonder Woman is coming out with Brian Azzarello and Cliff Chang. And, of course, Brian Azzarello is probably the most notable for his 100 Bullets series, which will be interesting to see how he does the Wonder Woman's comic. Cause
The cover here is kind of very Frank Miller-ish.
Yeah, it's got Wonder Woman in a myriad of arrows. As if
it's like 300 Wonder Woman.
With Wonder Woman, and but still arrows. Yeah.
Right.
And then we've got Batman coming up with Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo. Now, Greg Capullo, of course, was famous for doing all the Spawn comics. So Spawn, Batman, I can see where they may have gone to him to, flowing capes and all that kind of stuff.
The big capo, Capullo, hey!
I'm sure someone was just insulted by that.
Right.
Then we've got Catwoman and Green Lantern Corps. So we'll see how these end up doing.
So it's Green Lantern Corps, not Corpse.
It's not. They're not dead.
Right.
Yeah, it's Green Lantern Corps.
I was confused with that.
Yeah. No,
all right. Now,
Who's your favorite Green Lantern character? By the way,
It would be the Green Guy. The Ryan Reynolds.
You can't say Ryan Reynolds. He's like an actor playing a Green Lantern.
Right.
Come on.
Who's the Green Lantern? The Earth Guy.
Hal Jordan?
Hal Jordan, yeah. Oh, okay. He's absolutely my favorite.
It's a good thing you remembered that.
Right.
Mine's Kilowog. Thanks for asking.
Kilowog. Hey, who's your favorite?
Oh, Kilowog.
Kilowog.
I like Kilowog. Yeah.
What does he do?
He's like the sergeant. He's like the drill sergeant for all the Green Lantern guys.
Gets all right, you lanterns.
Pretty much, yeah.
Shape up or ship out.
Yeah. So anyways, lots of DC comics coming out with number ones this week. So
now here's the problem with these number ones.
Sorry.
I thought we were done with that. No. Is local comic book shops are getting annihilated. They're getting decimated with these number ones. These number ones, as you and I speak, as people are listening to this radio show right now, these four might be sold out at their local comic book shop.
It's very possible. Very possible. In fact, I would bet, unless the comic book shops bought a lot of Batman number ones, that is probably one of the most likely ones to be sold out.
Right, but even like Catwoman will be sold out because shops didn't order a lot.
Yeah, but you know what? There's no Adam Hughes covers on these ones. So.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. People will be picking up all 13, because 13 of these new number ones are coming out today from DC.
That's right.
Because they're doing 13 a week.
13 a week for 4 weeks equals 52.
For 4 weeks equals 52, right. So even though I think they're going to do 12 the last week.
I was going to say because it's GLA. Number one. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So that's the bad part about this is it's great and it's terrible all at the same time.
That's a lot of money for people to be shelling out. I mean, what's the average price of all these? What is it?
$2.99. There's a few $3.99s. But what I don't like to see at the local comic shop level, I feel for the local shops that did their best when they tried to pick numbers to reorder this stuff, figuring it's going to be popular, maybe doubling up on their Catwoman things that they – let's say 6 months ago Catwoman launched a title. I don't know if comic shops would order 10, 15 –
right.
Yeah.
Right.
And with this thing, you know what? I might order 30. Yeah. I know I'm crazy. But I'll order 30 or something. And lunch,
they're gone.
The 30 are gone.
They probably should have ordered like 100.
130.
Yeah.
Or 230. Yeah. So I feel for them. But if the listenership can just be patient, they are reprinting all of them. They're GLA. I heard is going to fourth print. By the way,
do you think people are really going to want these fourth and third printings? Like, are people buying them for the stories, or are people buying them because they're speculating on
Here's the thing. Most people right now, the activity is speculative activity. But what's happening, unfortunately, is the people that want to read them won't be able to get a copy because of the speculative activity.
Right.
those people will be glad when second and third prints hit the stand.
Right.
Right. Because they'll be able to get their issue. They'll be able to read
or,
it.
Or by that time, will they just say, you know what, I'm not interested in
or, it. Or I downloaded it.
Or I bored my friends.
I hope not. I hope not. I hope. Anyway, it's one of those things where it's a growing pain where I guess we should be lucky that we're in this situation where things are selling so well that it's a supply issue,
yes,
right?
For sure.
So I'm just asking the listenership to head into the local shop to be understanding of their local shop, the fact that they missed on these. Don't be mad at them. Now, there are some local shops which I don't like.
Okay.
I don't like the fact that they are holding back 20 or 30.
Oh, so they're
putting them up
themselves
on eBay getting $7-$8.
But you know what? I don't like that either. But at the same time, these guys do got to make money. I mean,
they do.
You know, like,
but you can make that quick buck now, or you can grow that loyalty to the customer.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And make a dollar off that guy every week for the next 50 weeks, or just make your quick $5 now and have that guy go somewhere else.
Right. Fair enough. Very good point. Very good point.
All right.
All right. Well, let's move along here with we've also got Captain America number 3. Now, this is of course is sort of it's not a reboot, but a relaunch of their own.
They rebooted.
Well, no, they didn't reboot it, but they decided to restart Captain America a couple months ago. At issue number 1 again.
Right.
This is nothing new. They've done this before. Now they've got they're at number 3. And you know what? I had to point it out because Captain America's hot these days. Hot property. Great movie. The writer is still Ed Brubaker. Is a great writer.
Steve McNiven
is doing the artwork for it.
Great artist.
And you know, it's just a great book all the way around.
All right, Captain America number 3 at your local comic book shop today. Of course, just one of the many Marvels coming out this week.
But this is what I want to talk about, Marvels. You know, so as I was perusing the Marvel comics this week, a lot of them are part of that Fear Itself storyline.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, this works two ways. If you're a guy buying all the Fear Itself comics, they all have the big Fear Itself logo, right?
Right.
So if you're buying all those, it makes it very easy for you to find a comic to buy because they all have the same logo. They're all very similar, right?
Right.
However, if you're not into the Fear Itself thing, it makes it very easy for you not to buy it.
Right.
Because as I was looking for Marvel Comics, and I knew I didn't want to talk about Fear Itself stuff, mm-hmm. and now I am, of course, but it took me a while to find one, and because every time I found a Marvel comic, it was, oh, it's Fear Itself, I don't want to look at it.
Right.
Right? So
I gotcha.
It took me a while to find a comic that was a Marvel comic that wasn't Fear Itself.
Right. Now, what I find confusing is with that Fear Itself, what they do is it's terrible to stock comics because I'm usually the stock boy with the comics on the news this week. Is so they'll have, like, for example, Captain America, the top, then Fear Itself.
Right.
Right? So then that's number 622 or whatever. I picked the wrong title.
Right.
Okay? But then they'll have Fear Itself, Captain America, number 2 of 4.
Yes.
Right? So whichever of those two titles get the more prominence, that's where you put it in. And that's so when you get your graphic novels later, you have to stock your Captain America Fear Itself graphic novel under Cap, but your Fear Itself Captain America graphic novel under Fear Itself.
That's right. Yeah.
Don't mess that up.
That's right.
That'll confuse everybody.
Absolutely. And I think it's ridiculous the way they've done it all. I think instead of making it a title, why couldn't they have just made it like a byline at the top where you're ordering your regular comics, and these are sort of like, just to let you know this is part of the storyline.
Right. You know what? At the end of the day, though, I really do think Marvel is fearing itself.
Oh,
for not rebooting.
Absolutely, yes. Very, very true. All right, well, let's keep on going, and we've got one more comic to talk about here. Because usually we like to do one Marvel, one DC,
and one no name,
one sort of lesser name,
lesser name. Image is a great company.
Yes. So we chose this one, and I thought it was a great find.
Actually, you chose it.
I was trying to make the audience make it look like, you know, we're doing this together.
We're a team.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Not that I'm doing all the work like I always do. Anyways. So I chose Super Dinosaur number 4.
Right.
And
now, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. No, you go ahead. No. Indubitably. I insist.
Please, after
please,
me.
Please, indubitably.
I just thought that this comic was ridiculous looking.
Yes.
Although it's written by Robert Kirkman.
I got something to say about that. So here you go. I'm Robert Kirkman.
Yeah.
And I just did Walking Dead. And I'm the cat's meow. So I have some really crap idea. And I go to Image. I go, look, buddy, you know, you're going to print my Super Dinosaur series, which I thought of while on the toilet. And you're going to like it.
That's
yes,
true.
Yes, sir, that, Mr. Kirkman.
That is true.
Now,
is true.
Please, I of course, that was the evil me talking because right. I have not read this, and it may be damn good.
Well, and it doesn't help. It doesn't hurt, rather, I should say, that Robert Kirkman is the COO of Image. He's the chief operating officer.
Right.
So basically, whatever he wants to do, he gets to do.
Yeah,
right?
His kid may have wrote this.
Yeah, or he heard maybe some. No, I don't even want to say. Maybe, right. Maybe. Anyway,
Chris, a great bunch of picks by you, as always, for new this week. So please, everybody, head into your local comic book shop. Check out the new comics that came out this week.
Yep.
Check out the new graphic novels that came out this week. Check out the stuff that you missed from last week.
You know what we should start doing? We should start doing a new graphic novel.
That is a great idea.
You know, we should do that. We'll start that for next week.
Start that for next week. Next Excellent. Week.
All right. Well, All right. Until then, we're going to keep going here. But before we continue on, we're going to have a little bit of a musical interlude. And, you know, I know it seems like we just played it, but it's actually been a while since we've played any Spider-Man music from the TV show. So I thought I'd bring that up again and get a little of the old cool music from the Krantz 1960s animated Spider-Man TV series.
Chris, I don't know how you do it, Chris. I honestly don't know how you do it. You know, that tune started out with that kind of So What Miles Davis
yep,
hit.
Yep.
And then it got that Jethro Tully flute, you know.
Yeah,
so you
yeah,
had
that's
that
right.
cool
yeah,
music
yeah.
where, I don't know, I wanted to light a cigarette, and then that flute came in, and you want to run naked through a forest. You don't know what the hell you want to do after that song.
It's a great tune. It's a great
tune. It is
tune.
A great yeah. tune. Great tune. And a great, great segue into industry news.
Yes.
And this week, industry news is brought to you by crazy billionaires with a skewed sense of vigilant justice. Without them, we would have far fewer comic books on the rack.
That's a very good point. Very, very good. You know, just to name a couple, we got Green Arrow and Batman. So, like, there's lots of them out there.
Yeah, Tony Stark.
Tony Stark, that's yeah. right, yeah. That's
lots
right.
of lots billionaires of, out
lots
there.
Lots of billionaires.
That are vigilant.
they are vigilant, aren't they?
Yes.
All right, well, let's keep going here. Now this brings us to our industry news section.
Industry news. Chris, let's talk first about DC jumping on the gay bandwagon.
Yeah, so this is interesting. So I'm not actually too sure if DC has had an openly gay character before.
That is a good question, because Marvel had with North Star.
Marvel had North Star.
And Archie had with the new Archie,
that's right,
the character.
That's right. And it looks like Looks like they have a new one for the new Teen Titans comic, which is the characters are going to be called Bunker. A new character, as it said here, a new character relaunched in Teen Titans by Scott Lobdell and drawn by Brett Booth. Now, however, they are saying in one of the news releases that there was hinting before that the character Jericho may have had some gay tendencies before.
Right.
So, but it was never openly gay. It was never said for sure, whereas this character is for sure.
Now, Chris, you are a comic historian. You'll know all about this. We're just going to kind of remind – I'm sure a lot of the listenership knows about this too, but DC for decades has fought the underground innuendo that Batman and Robin were gay.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
There are sites that will have little kind of really out of context panels here's the innuendo and gay.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you knew this. You probably did. Detective Comics number 233,
okay,
which came out just as the Comic Code was released in 1956,
right,
was a comic the Batwoman character was produced by DC right after the Code in answer to Wortham's claim that Batman and Robin were gay.
Yeah, and in fact, I remember there in one of the, a couple of the panels, they're making Robin almost surprised that there's a Batwoman kind of thing.
Right.
And he's almost like, well, who's this girl? Where did she come from kind of thing.
Right, right.
And absolutely. Well, in Frederick Wortham's Seduction of the Innocent, which is one of where they had the Senate hearings about comics.
Which led to the Comics Code. Right,
right. Well, he often had conversations, but he had a big note. I don't want to say chapter, but he had a big thing about Batman and Robin and their quote unquote unhealthy relationship.
Right.
Right. So
right.
I'm sure that they've been fighting this for a long time now.
Right. But what's good? Well, it shows where society has come to and where we're.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Where the publishers have come to. It's not like now. Well, we didn't mean that there to be gay innuendo. Now it's like, hey, nothing wrong with having a character that's
absolutely
openly gay,
absolutely,
right?
That's
so,
right, yeah.
And they're like
and
you say, about, probably a little bit behind the curve when it comes to Marvel
it's
and Archie
time.
And stuff like that.
It's about time for DC.
All right. So that is what's the guy's name again? Bunker on the new
Bunker.
Teen Titans.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, going over some sad news.
Yeah, this is interesting. It's sad, but interesting. You know, we've got I was, of course, growing up, I used to scour the newspapers for the comic strips. And although as a kid I liked it, as I grew older I wasn't a big fan. But do you remember the one comic strip Ziggy?
Yes.
Well, Ziggy, so the creator of Ziggy, Tom Wilson, unfortunately has passed away at age 80.
Right.
Now, I think Ziggy was started in 1969. And, as a kid in the 70s, when I was growing up in the 70s, I really liked Ziggy.
Love Ziggy.
It was this weird little,
kind of
guy.
Right.
And actually, one of his strips, I'll never forget to this day, it actually made me laugh out loud. It was Ziggy, and he was in front of these two different department stores, or I'll say stores, not department stores, but stores. And one of them was Honest John's Used Autos, and the other one was Honest Autos Used John's. And so he had a big pile of toilets in the background there. And so,
nice.
And I thought that was kind of clever, the play on words.
Right,
and,
right, right. Yeah.
And so for me to remember that, obviously the guy had something going for him. And,
right.
But yeah. So Ziggy, unfortunately, the creator has died at age 80.
Now, I mean, the fact that you and I are talking about it, you and I have discussed this before, is the impact on the strips. The strips are an integral part of comic culture.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
The strips, unfortunately, like, say, local comic shops.
Yeah.
Local comic shops really don't do any kind of business in numbers pertaining to strips.
Not really, no.
They'll sell one a year of the collected Peanuts.
Yeah.
Or one a year of the old archive Popeye or something like that,
or Farside
or Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah.
Those are still kind of the domain of bookstores like Chapters or Barnes
sure.
and Noble
Absolutely.
And stuff like that. But they are an integral part. Somehow, I don't know how, but somehow comic shops should be, a place where strips can be explored more.
Absolutely.
But the problem is comic shops have to invest in holding inventory in terms
and that kind of inventory is changing all the time. Like if you go to Chapters, of course, there's only certain ones that are in print at any one time, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So if you're looking for a particular volume of, I don't know, the latest Sherman's Lagoon book, well, they're going to have maybe the last 5 or 6 volumes, but if it's up to 20, mm-hmm. well, they probably won't have the first 15. Mm-hmm. They may have one of those giant volumes that has all 1 to 15 or something like that.
Right.
But really, it's an underserved area of the comic book industry for sure.
Right. You're absolutely right because it is consumed really on a daily basis.
Yeah.
A lot of the strips, if not daily, at least on the weekly when the weekend paper comes out and stuff like that.
Sure.
And like you said, fans would love to kind of, I love Ziggy. Like if you found a Ziggy compilation now and stuff, you'd buy it and put it on your coffee table
and leaf through it
and stuff like that because it is a great, great medium, strip.
And I think, you can tell in the later years of Ziggy, clearly he was the cartoon strip was growing and becoming something else than it was when it originally started. He was becoming a little more philosophical and that kind of thing. And I think that's probably may have turned some people off. But in the end, at the beginning, he was very clever, extremely clever.
You know what though, Chris? The artist was being true to himself all the way through, and that's what matters.
That's a great point.
All right, let's keep going. Oh, the new Spider-Man. Tops digital release for Marvel. So this Miles Morales, who's the new kind of mixed race Ultimate Spider-Man.
Right. Yes.
That book has set a record for the Marvel
downloads. Yeah.
Downloads.
Yeah. So and of course this is now they're doing they've been doing that for about a year, the same day release of the digital downloads as well as the paper hard copy comics. And but this is great. So this tells me that there is actually some hope for comics in the digital world. For a while there, I wasn't too sure if they're going to make a go of it. But it seems like numbers are growing all the time with digital comics.
Yeah, and
which I don't. I'm not saying I don't want it to replace regular comics.
Right.
But I think it's good that maybe there's a generation of people out there who are used to digital online applications such as this. So it's going to certainly fulfill a need for them.
Right, and where's the quote here from a Marvel sales rep, David Gabriel, noted that it actually led to an increased reorders for the print comic.
Right. Oh, that's fantastic.
Right. And
that's
so great. You and I championed the local comic book shop, and what he's saying is the success of digital immediately kind of led to people saying, hey, I want the comic.
Yeah.
I actually want the comic. So they went into their local comic book store and they say, hey, can get an actual copy of this comic because I enjoyed the digital version.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Which
that's
would be a great trend for everybody,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, awesome. For sure.
All right. Chris.
Well, and funny you should say about printing. Well, this the latest Green Lantern number 1 has a printing error.
It does.
It does. So apparently, DC Comics is seeking to replace all the copies of their new Green Lantern number 1. Now, here's the thing. Now, whenever one of these books comes out where it's got a printing error, of course, they're more than willing to solve the problem. Hey, we'll give you X number of copies for whatever copies you send back to us. But of course, these printing errors end up being a collector's item, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now, apparently, misprint copies are being sold on eBay for as high as $30 already.
$30?
$30 for a book that came out, last week?
Last week.
Yeah.
Because it's a misprint.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and apparently the misprint is it's got an irregular green loop over Sinestro's ear. Now, Sinestro is one of the characters in the
book. And, of course, that's wrong.
Oh, well, yeah.
Sinestro, of course, is the red David Niven.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
The David Niven of the Green Lantern world.
David
Niven
of the Green Lantern world. So. Right. Now, I remember being a Conan fan. I remember there being a hoopla around a Conan issue that had
hoopla.
Hoopla. had a scantily clad woman in the forefront, but somebody forgot to draw in her, you know, briefs, her panties, her underwear,
right.
And she was basically naked.
Yeah.
You know, and of course that one immediately went on eBay, and people were getting stupid amount of money for it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you're right; it's amazing that the misprints.
Well, you know what's funny about this kind of stuff? You just reminded me of. Do you remember those? What are they called now? They look like a camera. You'd stick the disc in it. ViewMaster reels.
Reels.
Do you remember those things?
No.
It was like a little. You'd stick them up to the light, and then you'd click a button, and it was like a little disc.
Right, a little disc, and you see pictures of Niagara Falls in it.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Or naked girls.
Well, not for ViewMaster, but
right.
You know,
okay.
But yeah, that kind of idea. Well, there was one that they did one for Bonanza, and. So remember the TV show Bonanza with Haas and all those guys, Grandpa Joe or whatever those names are. Anyways, when they're posing for all these pictures for this ViewMaster reel thing, there's one shot where they all had their hands in their pockets except for the middle finger. So they're all giving the finger to the cameraman.
Nice.
So now this ViewMaster reel is like a collector's item because it's sort of like a misprint type thing, right?
Right.
So anyways, yeah.
Shame of them, the nerve of them.
I know. Right. I know.
Well, DC, if this reprint, if this misprint recall works well enough, they plan to recall the whole Green Lantern movie that didn't do
too well. Nice. You got a million of them.
That was a rim shot. All right, Chris, where are we going here? You know where we're going right now? Should we go to Comic-Con? Let's go to Comic-Con and then do a musical interlude.
Yes, yes.
So this past weekend, I was at the Montreal.
Yes, you were talking about it. We were talking about it last week.
Comic-Con.
And, how was the show?
Oh, it was... It met and exceeded expectations, unfortunately, for the promoter.
Unfortunately? Isn't that a good thing, to exceed expectations?
Well, it did, but any time you have to turn away thousands upon thousands of people because your venue is limited in terms of capacity.
Hold on. So he actually had to turn away thousands of people.
Right.
Did he not plan for this? Or,
no, the thing is...
Fill me in here.
They did plan. Montreal is a metropolitan, cosmopolitan, world-class city.
Sure.
But it never really had a good Comic-Con.
No, I can't. I don't think Montreal's ever been the comic mecca, right?
Like right. It just never had an established Comic-Con.
Right.
Now the promoter, great young guy named Oscar, working hard on getting a con established. He did wonders 2 years ago on getting like 3,500 people to come.
Okay.
And last year was his breakout year. He had like over 8,000 people
That's
came
pretty
over.
Good.
The weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah,
good, yeah.
Well, you compare it to San Diego's 125.
Yeah, but this is a
even Toronto's 75.
Sure.
It's paltry, right?
Okay.
But this year, with a little help from friends here in Ontario and stuff, people lining up guests and helping them with that kind of stuff, is he lined up a stellar guest list.
I mean, I remember the list.
Sergio Argonis, Neil Adams, and of course Stan Lee.
Yeah, yeah. And it wasn't Burt Ward and Adam West
Adam West, yeah. I'm sorry. And then, of course, the local Montreal media picked up on this a good week before. You know, this is a big event coming to the city. But unfortunately, you know, they were planning on hopefully increasing the, you know, 8,000 out to 12,000.
Right.
And their facility, that would have maxed out,
roughly.
Right. I don't have exact capacity numbers, but that's what they were hoping
for.
They were hoping for a healthy, healthy increase based on the guests.
Well,
because of the exposure in the local media, the Quebec media, this thing took on, you know, mammoth proportions. Stan Lee is an icon. Stan Lee is a god of the industry.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's there. When's he going to be in Montreal again? Who knows, right?
So when's he going to be in Canada again?
Right. So this thing took off. I don't know numbers, but honestly, Chris, if they had enough of a venue, it could have went from 8,000 to 30,000.
Wow,
I don't know,
amazing.
Right?
Yeah,
Just, but the problem is that facility probably could have taken in 6,000 or 7,000 people at a time,
as
opposed to 15.
And really, I mean, it's not the promoter's fault. How would Oscar possibly know that many people are going to go to the show, especially when he's hoping for, a jump to
right?
You know,
well, he had built in a healthy increase, yeah, a right. very healthy increase, yeah. hoping for a number like 12,000 attendance yeah. for the con.
I mean, that's a 50% increase.
Right.
So how would he possibly know that?
He pretty well could have done a 500% increase yeah. had he had the facilities. But like any promoter, it's a nightmare seeing a lineup. Like the lineup was like there were more people on midday Saturday at the Montreal Comic Con. There were more people outside the hall
yep.
than there were inside the hall.
Oh, that's sad.
Is brutal.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that went away disappointed.
Disappointed.
But, you know, which I'm sure is bound to happen. But hopefully this will be a good lesson learned. And maybe next year he'll have a bigger hall. And
maybe next year he'll play up to par.
Thanks, Les Nessman.
Right.
All right. Anyways, good thing about the show.
Great, great show. Stan Lee was there. Stan Takai was there. Usagi Yojimbo creator. Like we said, Neil Adams was there. Met Neil Adams on the elevator.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Great story. A Toronto collector. I won't name his name. Stops by the booth all the time, picks up a few comics every show. Great guy. There's a thing called the Signature Series, Chris.
Right.
So this company called CGC, what they do is they encapsulate your comic and they grade it out of 10. The Kiss of Death in the collecting community is what they call the purple label.
Right.
Right. Because that means your book has been restored.
Right, right.
And
right.
touched up. And restoration is
A regular label is blue, right?
Regular label yeah. is blue. So the majority of comics are blue labels,
yeah.
right? A yellow label means a signature.
Right.
Like Stan Lee signed this right. book. But you can't just pull out a book out of your broom closet. That Stan signed in 1982
right,
and send
right,
it to
right.
this company because they're just going to say, well, that's pen on cover, right?
Yeah, that's right.
They have to have a CGC person working that show
watching it.
That will watch and authenticate
yes,
Stan
yes.
Lee's signature.
Right.
So Stan Lee was there. Anyway, because Stan was so busy signing and stuff like that, and some dealers have kind of the in
right,
with the promoter
right, right, right.
and trying to help Stan with his time. And because
yep,
yep. you don't want a huge lineup of kids, and all of a sudden some schmuck dealer comes in with 150 books to sign.
Right.
And you got to, you know, so he was trying to line that up before the show
right,
and stuff
right,
like that.
Enough.
So
okay.
anyway, this Dean had a bunch of books, and this other dealer
the
had a bunch of books.
The guy that you weren't going to mention on the radio?
Oh, I'm sorry. The guy that wasn't going to mention on the radio. So the great part about it is Stan came down into his room.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so here
nice.
We are at the hotel, and Stan just kind of shuffles in and sits
yep.
down at that little hotel desk. You know, those
yeah,
hotel
yeah,
rooms, they got that
yeah,
little desk yeah. there. And I'm talking to the guy, and he goes, you know what I did? I pulled out that drawer. You know the drawer under the desk?
Yeah.
He goes, I pulled it out because I was afraid Stan might bang his knee into the drawer. That's the cutest thing
that's
ever,
nice,
right?
That's nice.
So there's a story the guy could
yeah,
tell his grandkids,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, that's
so,
awesome.
Anyway, it was a very, very good show. It was a great experience.
Did I ever tell you I met Stan Lee once?
You did?
Yeah, I did actually, yeah.
Well, we both met him in
93. Met him a few times, yeah. I met him a few times, yeah.
In 93 was the last time I kind of met him.
Well, I remember meeting him in Chicago as
right.
well. And is that the one you're talking about?
No, Hotel Novotel in Toronto.
Okay, I met him in Chicago as well.
Right.
And I remember I was getting a book signed by him. And he was I had a copy of a Daredevil book. And I had a Daredevil number one, and I had a Daredevil number two. But my Daredevil number one was really beat up. So I went up and I said, you know, I'd like you to sign my Daredevil number two. And he said, well, don't you have a number one? I said, yeah, but it's really beat up. He goes, yeah, I don't sign beat books.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah,
nice.
Good, yeah.
I got morals and scruples.
Yeah, that's right. All right.
Excelsior.
All right, let's have a little music here so we can, I don't know, listen to something different. This is one I haven't played in a while because I know it's not a favorite of the masses, but I thought we better give it a shot anyways. It's been a while since we played it. So here it is, The Wonderful Boy Wonder. Or not. Hold on one second.
The
Let's
Wonder,
it.
The
there,
Wonder,
here it is.
The
there
Wonderful
go.
Boy Wonder.
Here we go.
Wherever Batman goes, he is always there, and all their evil foes are very much aware that though he's just a boy, no grown-up can compare with Robin, the Wonderful Boy Wonder. If Batman
Batman's in a fix, and it looks like it's the end. He really doesn't worry, he knows he can depend on that fearless teenage hero, who is his closest friend. Robin, the wonderful boy wonder, he fights for law and order whenever there's disorder, and asks for no reward or prize for doing what he order. And though he's just a lad, I'm sure that you'll agree, there's never been a lad as wonderful as he. And if one wish I had, I wish that I could be Robin, the wonderful boy wonder.
Great tune, Chris. You know, I think Dr. Wortham heard that song and then came up with his theory.
Probably did. You know, I cut that song a little short. I know you're not a fan of it, so
I love that song. What are you talking about?
Oh, come
back
on.
Back that up.
No.
Beep, 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 beep. I absolutely love that song.
No, I don't believe you. But anyway,
I have the extended disco version in my car.
There are so many bad things I want to say about you having the extended anything about Robin the Boy Wonder.
Right. All right, Chris, let's keep going with industry news. This segment of industry news is brought to you by the Swingers Club of Hamilton. Yes. Tell the kids it's a Spider-Man fan club for grown-ups.
Oh, this show is getting a little blue. Let's bring it back to
reality,
family oriented here.
Right.
All right. So, Chris,
here I am. I'm on the net and I'm surfing, and I'm checking stuff out. I'm trying to, you know, get stuff for the show. And whoa! Like lo and behold, I'm reading Zod's costume is revealed.
Now for the layperson, Zod is the going to be the villain. The antagonist, if you were, of the new Superman movie.
Right. And I read the headline, and I'm going, hey, let me explore this. This looks like a great story. But there is no story. It's just Zod's costume reveal.
Wow. Yeah.
So I click on the next page, and I read that, there's like this truck, a picture of a truck.
Oh, okay. Wow,
that's
exciting.
Cool. Yeah, like this is on a comic news website. I should check this out because, you know, you and I are going to need something to talk about.
That's
right,
absolutely.
And apparently it's Bane's truck.
Whoa.
Right.
So not only did we find out Zod's costume was revealed, but now we know Bane's truck is revealed.
Right.
This is
so Bane's
riveting.
Truck looks like something.
Riveting information.
Right. And then on the next page, there's like new action-packed Walking Dead promo.
Oh, wow.
Like, like some sort of montage of a little couple of scenes for the new season.
Wow, you just got the Green Lanterns of all the news sites there, didn't you? You got all the really boring, lame...
Well, no, these were on like all the major news sites, because I only serve the best news sites show, because our listeners deserve the best.
Well,
right?
Of course.
In spite of you and me.
I was going to say, that's where we're the hosts.
Right. Yeah. But then it kind of, I'm starting to dawn on me, I'm going, my God, like, this is where we're at right now. This is where we're taking little things.
And making them huge deals.
Yeah. You know, oh, Zod's costume. Oh, there's a Bane truck.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, Walking Dead, here's a still from the new show.
Yeah.
And these are all kind of, you know, I don't know if it was a slow news day or what, but it's that's what you'll find if you surf comic news.
Well, and you know what? This is comic minutia, right? This is what people like about
comic who?
Minutia.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this is minutia. That's what this is. Right. Yeah. And some people, I bet, like, they're better hosts than you and I. They can turn that Zod bit probably into 15 minutes of content.
They probably could, but we know better.
Okay, even better. Yeah, we know better.
We know better.
They're worse than you and I.
Yeah. I guess you have to know your audience. I'm pretty sure we could talk about, you know, Zod's costume, the new one, how compared to the old one,
right?
And, you know, who played it and all that, you know, all that kind of stuff.
But we're not gonna.
We're not
gonna insult the intelligence of our listenership.
No, we could go on and on, really.
You know, we don't even have to stop right here.
No.
We could just
loop it
back and talk about Bane's truck for another minute.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
But we're not going to.
What kind of truck was it? You know,
it's a Tonka?
Was it a Mack truck?
Was it a Tonka?
It could have been.
Yeah. I don't know.
What wheels were on the truck?
Right.
Were they Bane wheels?
You know, I think they were Flintstones. Flint Rocks.
This time Flint, we lost.
Right.
But next time we'll win.
All right.
All right.
So anyway, lots of news on all the movies coming out next year on the net. Just Google it.
Google it. There Google you go. It. All right.
All right.
So next segment is about Marvel now.
Yeah, Marvel. So this Solier.
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 Are we saying that right?
Probably not.
Probably not. All right.
Solier.
So Solier is a like an offshoot printing company of publishing company of Marvel.
Yeah. Well, it's a French publisher that I guess prints French comics.
Okay. Right.
French properties, French licenses,
stuff.
Whatever
stuff.
Right.
Okay.
French
yeah.
stuff. And so Marvel back in 2008 decided to take the Solier imprint and add it to their line.
Okay.
And print some French properties kind of in English.
Right.
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 So you had stuff like Dandruff. No.
Daffodil.
Daffodil, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Husk, Kookaburra, Samurai.
Right.
Now, the only one I really recognize there is Sky Doll. I remember that being a big popular
right.
one.
Right. Sky Doll, Spin Angels, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I guess here was Marvel's hope that this kind of Eurocentric.
It's never worked. You know, it's never worked. They have, you know, I don't know what our problem is here in North America.
What's our problem anyway?
What is our problem anyways? Like, really, because, you know, Heavy Metal Magazine is the only company that's been able to, you know, consistently sell European artwork and comics. And,
right.
You know, and even then, that's a dying magazine now anyways.
Yeah.
But, you know, DC tried to do – they had a Humanoids imprint there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And the other companies have tried to do it with, you know, Fantagraphics have brought in other, you know, French-type things.
Right.
And you know
– French-type things.
You know what I'm – French graphic novels.
Yep.
And, you know, and Kitchen Sink did it years ago. And, you know, this is something that, you know, for some reason – it never catches on in the North American market.
Yeah, it doesn't touch the public nerve.
No. I mean, there are a few companies out there. Like, I remember there was one called a publishing company, NBM.
Yes.
And Taschen was doing sort of books like that. Like, but they're more – Taschen's more
books.
Like art books.
Right.
But,
NBM was graphic
was
novels.
Was graphic
right,
novels.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did – but even then, you know, they've I don't even know if they're still around anymore.
Right,
even.
Right. I mean, there's just a couple of success stories, but really compared to the success that they have in Europe, you know, like things like Asterix and Tintin,
yeah.
It should be selling twice the volume here
yeah.
because of our population base.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't transfer as well
no.
here for some reason.
No.
Anyway.
People still
and basically the story is that Marvel is pulling the plug on
right.
This Solier experiment and I think they're soliciting all the graphic novels they have in stock at like 90% off or something
well, yeah.
like that.
They got to sell it now, right?
So. Right, and they're basically getting rid of everything they've printed because it didn't sell.
Yeah, and these will be books that people will say, hey, you know what? Maybe I don't want to pay $10 for this book, but I'll pay a buck for it.
I'll pay two
right.
bucks for it.
Yeah.
You know, and Marvel's taking a loss on it, but like you're right, there's literally Chris an ocean between.
Wow! Yes, there is.
You know the French
how,
and the American.
How profound
comics.
You've become all of
right.
Yes.
I just like it's
I
a
feel
deep.
Like I feel like I'm you know having a radio show with like Nietzsche or
right.
somebody like
yes.
that.
It's
yeah.
a deep ocean. It's a deep void, a
yes.
gulf,
yes.
A divide.
There's something deep around here, but it certainly
right.
isn't the ocean.
All
right. So all right, let's keep
so,
on going here.
Yeah, let's keep going. Anyway, pick up at your local comic shop, Cheap Solier. and check them out and see. Prove us wrong.
All right. So now I know you don't watch a lot of movies, Walt. But
or TV shows.
I was going to ask you, do you watch a lot of TV?
No, unfortunately, I don't.
Well, the good news for you is that there's these things called DVDs, and you can actually get DVDs of television shows and movies, and you actually play them at home whenever you feel like it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So as such, one of the ones that is very popular out there is Big Bang Theory.
I've heard of it.
Now, Big Bang Theory, in case you're not too sure about it, it's basically about a bunch of geeks that sit around and talk about video games and comic books and movies, and then all of a sudden there's this hot girl that comes in and has an apartment across the hall from them.
Right. Because I was just going to say, hold on, I was just going to say, that sounds like you and me. Sans the hot girl.
Well, yeah, I know. Right. That's the way it goes. But, you know, a comedy ensues from the antics of these two, of all these people trying to, you know, get the favors of this hot girl.
Right.
Anyways, because of there's lots of comic book talk and all that kind of stuff, it seems like it's actually done a lot for the comic book industry.
Right. At the shop, the Laura who works at the shop, she'll say, "Hey Walt, you know what? I'm selling these T-shirts just because the guy on Big Bang Theory wore it."
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Right.
Yeah, it happens all the time. Yeah.
Bazunga or whatever.
Bazinga.
It's called.
Bazinga.
Bazinga. Right. Yeah. That was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, that's
it's a guy on Big Bang Theory. Yeah. He wore a bazinga.
Well, that was his catchphrase.
I'm sorry.
That was a bazinga. That was like whenever he pulled a prank on someone.
Right.
That was I got you, bazinga.
Bazinga. Yeah. Right. Okay, well, we're selling Bazinga T-shirts.
Yeah, well, right. But you know what? But even in the show, they wear Green Lantern shirts,
right? Yeah,
Batman
yeah, yeah.
Shirts,
yeah.
And
it's the shirts. What Laura was telling me was, it's the shirts that these guys are wearing.
Yeah.
Is the shirts that next week are selling.
Oh yeah, and you know what's
in the
funny
store
is
so they're helping the local comic book shop. Thank
absolutely.
You. What's the show called again?
Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory.
But you know what's interesting is that they are so in tune with comic culture, not the radio show, but they should be in tune.
They should.
They should be
right.
In tune, 93.3. Anyways,
yep.
They should be in tune with it because they already. What was I going to say? Oh, they even talk about like New Comic Book Day and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, which is something that they're educating the public about our geekiness that we're already aware of.
Right. That is a great, great thing, and I guess they've put in full page ads in the DC. Books in the DC Comics this week because the show is being syndicated. So now it's on every day.
Right.
Right. Right. So the fact that Big Bang Theory is going on to syndication and you know, it's kind of like Seinfeld now or whatever, it's available every day.
Right.
They actually put an ad in comic books.
Makes sense.
Because that is a large part of their fan base.
Yeah,
so I think that's great.
I think it's good. I like it. I like it a lot. And, you know, I'm actually surprised that it hadn't gone into syndication before. I thought it was already in syndication because it seems like on some of those shows you can see all the time, right? But anyways, it looks like it's going to be doing lots of cross advertising. All right.
Good.
So let me just.
Chris is queuing up music.
Yes.
Chris is one of those can't chew gum and walk at the same time guys.
I'm also the same guy that, you know, I didn't know you wanted a piece of music to be played, so.
A piece of what?
Piece. Hey-o! Here we go. Here's Meet the Creeper.
Yes, that, of course, was Das Leben, recorded in some sort of industrial German warehouse, singing, what was the song again?
Meet the Creeper.
Von Creeper.
Meeting von Creeper.
Meeting von Creeper. All right, Chris. Anyway, listen, we have the end of the show. We do have a sponsor for us.
Our next segment is brought to you by Speculators, because why would you pay $3 for a Batgirl number one when you can pay $18?
Right. Why would you?
Why would you?
Sounds kind of counterintuitive.
Absolutely. All right.
All right, Chris. Listen, we do have this week, we're lucky to have another top 10 list.
Oh.
And this was, I was just... You know, it just, things happen for a reason sometimes.
Yep.
I'm thinking, I'm walking into the con and go, why do I have my pen in my ear and a notepad in my hand?
Oh.
It didn't seem right.
Okay, yeah.
But as I'm walking past, because you have a dealer badge, right?
Right.
As
right,
I'm walking past literally a 7 mile line.
Yeah, I'm sure.
To get
into
the con, I'm overhearing stuff.
Okay.
At the Montreal Comic Con line. And this is the top 10 things I overheard. Waiting to get into the Montreal Comic Con.
Oh, I like it. Okay. So, So this is like when you're like, these are people waiting in line. Kind
people
of like.
In Montreal waiting in line
okay.
to get to the Montreal Comic Con. The top 10 things I overheard.
Okay. Lay it on me.
Number 10. Excuse me. Is this the ATM lineup?
Well, if you had to wait that long to get money out, that's
right.
That's
but you know what? You and I were in Toronto. And
oh, that's
lines
true.
Were
yeah,
that
yeah
big.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
That's
number 9. I hope the Jill Gerard line isn't this long.
Oh, you know, if only. If only.
Jill hopes it is.
Jill hopes right? it is. That's right. Maybe in Detroit.
Yeah, maybe in Detroit the Jill Gerard line is. And maybe if Chris is there, too.
That's right.
Okay. The number 8 thing I overheard in the Montreal Comic Con line was, what's this Stanley guy's last name?
You know, actually, it would be Stan Liebowitz.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. But
well, I just killed that one, didn't I?
Boy, wah. All righty. number 7. Hey, love your costume. Who are you supposed to be? Heard a lot of that, Chris.
Yeah.
Because you see their homemade costumes.
Wait, were they talking to you personally? Oh, okay. I thought
maybe they were.
Maybe they had a costume on.
Maybe they were. Yeah. Of course, let me remind you, Chris, this is the top 10 things I overheard
in the lineup
at the Montreal Comic Con.
Okay.
Boy, this is going nowhere quick. number 5. Excuse me, are you going to eat the rest of that poutine?
Oh, I say. Poutine.
Right. Number 4. Bonjour. Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir? I didn't know what that meant, so I wrote it down.
Okay.
I was hoping to ask
you. Did you find out what it was?
No.
Oh. Does that mean, like, will you dance with me or something like that?
It may be, but I heard that. I
hope we're not
it.
Swearing in French.
I hope we're not either. Yeah. All right. Where am I? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The number 4 thing I overheard at the Montreal Comic Con line was, excuse me, which way to the strip clubs?
Oh, well, I hear there's lots of those in Montreal.
In Montreal, apparently, and I think the guy went to the wrong venue.
Oh, maybe. Right. Maybe he thought it was a lineup for the strip clubs.
Right. I think that I could easily happen, maybe.
Absolutely. Yeah,
if you're a tourist, right.
For sure.
All right, number 3. I hope Stan Lee's Q&A isn't in French. Now, that would probably be an American tourist
coming up to the show, right?
Because he doesn't understand the language.
No.
You and I being Canadians.
Oh, well, absolutely.
Fluently bilingual.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Except for that when you asked me what that
Voulez-vous
thing
was.
Right.
Number 2. Where's Guy Lafleur signing?
Now that I understand.
Right.
I like that.
So people wanted to know heading into the con. Yep. And the number 1 thing I overheard. Waiting in line at the Montreal Comic Con was, is it Le Ligue de Justice or La Ligue de Justice?
Well, I guess it would depend on if it's feminine or not.
That's the point. Yeah, which one is it?
I don't know. I would say Le, but you know, you never know.
Le?
You
right.
never know.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Well,
that's it, Chris.
Well, clearly those Montrealers, they really had a lot of questions there.
Well, they were inquisitive.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
a lot of those are questions.
Well, I guess so.
I'm just saying. Well, I guess very inquisitive people.
Chris, I was walking briskly. I had to write quickly.
Right? I'm sure you did.
Anyway, that the show was great. I don't have enough time to talk about it. Hopefully, look for a Anthony Falcone post our producer, Anthony Falcone, on comicbookdaily.com. He had a great interview with the legendary. Chuck Rosansky,
yeah.
Who, of course, was the he bought, and then he resold the Mile High comic collection, which in today's value would literally, I'm not lying, be worth probably $60, $70 million.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. Yeah.
And that all went through Chuck's hands.
You know, actually, I had a chance to, believe it or not, I was in Pittsburgh. I was in Pittsburgh this year, and I was leafing through books, and I came across one called Barbarian Funnies. And I brought it out, and this guy next to me says, "Oh, I remember selling that in 1973. And sure enough, it was Chuck
Rosansky.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So here's a guy who's been selling comics for a long time. But,
awesome.
You know what? Speaking of long time, this show's been going on for a long time now.
Too long,
so
apparently.
It looks like we're going to have to end it here.
All right. Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by James McIntosh. For comments and suggestions, visit comicbookdaily.com, click on the podcast link, scroll down to the comments field, and put in a comment.
And remember, make every day a sweet Christmas.
And please support your local comic book shop.